We turn to the portion of scripture which we read in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, and we shall read again at verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ as part of his great sermon, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And we learn at the very beginning of the chapter to whom the words were spoken. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. The words were spoken particularly for the disciples, but in the hearing of many others, perhaps many thousands. These words in our text are of course directed to the Lord's people, not only the disciples then, but all who are followers of Christ in every age and generation. These words are relevant for us here today. Let your light so shine. This is the wonder of the Word of God. It contains doctrine that we are to believe, and it teaches practice how we are to live. So all the knowledge we have of the truth, and especially the truth of salvation, centered upon the person and work of Christ, that must be evident in us in the way of a transformed life. A life also centered upon Christ. A new life given to us by the Holy Spirit through the new birth, whereby we are so changed that we have a light, and a light that is to shine to those around us. And we wish to see what this light is and how we are to let our light shine, and what may be the result when our light does shine as it should. Firstly then, the challenging duty. The challenging duty, let your light so shine before men. The light of a changed life, the light that is the light of grace, God's grace in the heart, in the soul, the light of truth and righteousness. That is what is represented by light here. Very often in the scriptures, light represents truth. God's word, eternal truth, that which man needs to know and heed, believe and obey. And righteousness. That distinguishes God's people. God is a righteous God. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. And his people are a righteous people. And first and foremost, that is on account of the righteousness of Christ, which has been reckoned to them as they have been enabled to believe in him. Trust in him for salvation from sin. but righteousness too in their character and in their conduct. Can we say that that is so with ourselves? That we are upright in terms of what the Bible speaks of, an upright walk with God, not of the world, and as the world, thinking as the world thinks, walking in the world's ways. It is a fallen world, and all mankind is fallen, but God has raised up his people. He's put this new life in them. Now they stand upon their feet, as it were, and they walk in the paths of righteousness. That is where Christ, the Good Shepherd, leads his flock, in those blessed paths. Born again by the Spirit, trusting in Christ, knowing repentance, daily repentance. That is the way forward. It is to look back, to take account of our sin, to confess it to God, and to pray for his forgiveness, but also for renewing strength. Strength to live a godly life in a hostile world. The soldiers of Christ in enemy territory, but under the captain of their salvation. And so strong in him, and able by his grace to stand firm and to show forth God's praises. Love to Christ, that should be in us, and it should abound, and that more and more, and we sense our weakness there. How little we tend to think upon the Lord and dwell upon the Lord. All too easily worldly concerns come in, and they occupy our thoughts almost totally. And to cultivate that practice of having the Word of God in our hearts and minds, that we might be drawn continually in our thoughts to our precious Redeemer, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And love to Christ should be seen in our obedience to Christ. It is a very strange thing when you have people who say they love the Lord and then flagrantly go against his teaching, break his commandments, which are none other than God's commandments, the Ten Commandments. But the Lord's people, heart and mind and will, they're yielded to Christ. They're devoted to him. He is their first love. And so we understand our calling. We are to be for the Lord in this sinful world. We are to be light in this dark world. Our text, of course, follows two verses in which Christ speaks of his people as light. He says this: ye are the light of the world. Now that is surely a very humbling statement. The one who spoke those words, he himself is the light of the world. The true light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot put out that light, cannot extinguish it. And the dark world and the dark minds of fallen men do not recognize that light. Now by grace we do. And this is what the Lord is saying to his people. Well, I am the light of the world, but you are in me. Join to me, you must be the light of the world. And we think of the two great bodies of light that God has set in the heavens, the sun and the moon. And in the sun you see Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Righteousness, as we learn in Malachi, risen with healing in his wings, saving grace for sinners of mankind. And what a light, a glorious light it is. And you cannot look upon the sun directly with the naked eye. But there's also the moon. And its light is a pale light. It is the light of the sun reflected. The moon has no light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. And you find in Scripture, the Song of Solomon, for instance, that the moon is an emblem of the church. And we can think about that. We must reflect the light of Christ. We have nothing ourselves. It's only by being united to Christ, partaking of his grace, his salvation, that we can shine at all. And we shine in as much as truth and righteousness are in us, and the fruit is seen in love to Christ and to our fellow believers and to those of the world out of concern for their eternal welfare. And inasmuch as we walk with the Lord, you remember in John's first epistle, chapter 1, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we profess to know God, well, we profess to see that light and to live in it ourselves and to have something of that light in our own hearts and lives. Union and communion with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is our light to shine? Well, of course, it may shine in the company of the saints. One saint to another. We see something of another's grace. We're drawn to it. But our light must shine especially in the world, because the world has no light. None at all. There are those of learning and worldly wisdom. There are those who are knowledgeable about many things. But they have no light, as Jesus speaks of light here. A true light is a guide. It's taking you somewhere. It's giving you direction along the path you need to take. And there's no light in this world that will guide us to where we need to go. We're going to eternity, but where shall it be? We know from Scripture there is heaven and hell. Can the world guide you to heaven? No, because it's a fallen world, enthralled to the devil. And to follow the ways of the world is to go blindly to destruction, to the place of punishment for sin. But we have the light of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, there in the Word. And we have that word as the sure and complete guide to heaven. And if a man follow Christ, he shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, eternal life. And that's the message we should be conveying to the world. We who are the Lord's people. And we should be conveying that message of the kingdom of heaven, and that Jesus Christ is the way into that kingdom, clearly, brightly, constantly. It must not be hid. Paul could say to the Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Are we conveying that message? Is it evident in us? Do we have the joy of the Lord, of his salvation? Are we bearing testimony to the Saviour and that to a lost world in the darkness of sin and unbelief? You and I as believers ought to be like rays of the sun, shining a little in our corner where the Lord has placed us. Shining for him, that others may see something of Christ in his people. The challenging duty, let your light so shine before men. And then the loving aim, the Christ that continues, that they may see your good works. And we think and we say to ourselves, but I do not have any. I'm a sinner. And all I do is sinful. And that is true. There's nothing we do here that's as it ought to be. There's nothing perfect. There's only one who was perfect. And all his works were perfect. And that is Christ. But Christ coming into our lives by the Holy Spirit, Christ in our hearts, the hope of glory, Christ by his grace working in us, there is the beginning of a doing good, well doing. Those works that are acceptable to God through Christ, the things that God requires in his law, commands of us to be doing these things, doing the will of God from the heart, because we are indebted to God. What mercy he has shown us. What grace. What love. And how can we return our gratitude to God? Well, it must be by letting our light shine, not hiding it. And it shines as we are enabled to do the things that please God, our Heavenly Father. Doing genuine good to others. Your love for God overflowing into a love for your fellow man. Walking according to God's word. That is by no means easy. And that because of sin remaining in us, but also because of the day in which we live. If you stand up on the side of Christ, if you speak a word about the cross, about forgiveness of sin, about salvation, And that, as the need of every individual, well, people may have a very negative view of you. And you may even be told to be silent. Especially if you maintain, as you must, from the Bible, that Christ is the only way to God and the only way to heaven. That's too narrow. That's bigoted. God loves everyone. And God will accept everyone into heaven. That's if people believe in God at all. The opposition. There's a rising tide. And it's challenging and threatening the church. And the church should have walls to keep out the world. But the tide comes against those walls. And if the foundations are not attended to, and in many churches they're not, there's no strength of conviction there, determination to hold fast, well, then the walls perhaps begin to be unstable and then to crumble. And the world is in. We need, while we have time and opportunity, and seeking strength from the Lord, to speak up and to testify concerning Jesus Christ. We shall find, if we do so, that the Lord helps us. He gives us the very words to speak, and that the Lord will bless that testimony. Even though our words may seem to be so faltering and so feeble, God will bless those who are bold on his side. Not reckless, but having a godly courage, knowing the truth to be the truth, and having a love for their fellow men. Is our light seen? It's always the question. We say we believe the truth. Is that known when we are in the company of others? It's not that we have to be talking about the Bible and quoting the Bible all the time, although a word in season may be very effective. But the manner of our conduct, our demeanor, our kindly attitude and sympathetic attitude, and then bringing things round perhaps to something concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayerfully, always prayerfully, seeking an opening whereby we may be a witness for the Lord. But the tendency may be to hide our light, and we remember and how Christ spoke of the light being hid under a bushel. And a bushel was a certain vessel containing a certain amount, which could be upturned and put over a light to lessen the light, or perhaps to extinguish the light. And you have to put the candle on the candlestick. As Jesus says, then and only then will it give light to the house and to those who are in it. But there's always a bushel, it seems. And the devil will provide it. He'll almost offer it to you. Oh, don't be too outspoken. Be more fair-minded. Be more tolerant. Listen to others and their opinions. And we have to rebut that with this thought. The words of Christ, John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But we find a bushel. A weak faith. Lack of assurance. The fear of man. All these things may be true with regard to us. And we have to seek grace from God, that we might be strong in him and willing to witness and bear the Lord's reproach if it must be. In Scripture, in the Gospels, we learn of Nicodemus and how he first came to Christ by night, because he had questions. Now he was an eminent man, a Pharisee, a religious man, but we learn from his interview with Christ that he was ignorant spiritually, especially when the Lord said, "Ye must be born again." But a work began. Work of grace. And you learn of him again, saying that Christ should not be rejected, condemned, without first being heard. That's only right. We should listen to him, what account he has to give. And then you find Nicodemus, after the crucifixion of Christ, and Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a disciple of Jesus, and then this, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Joseph with Nicodemus, and they go to Pilate, and their request is that they might take away the body of Jesus. And of course, Joseph has a tomb where the body of the Lord will be laid. And that was a loving act. And it required some strength. And of course faith. And what we're learning is that these two, who perhaps for a long time hid their light, now were willing that their light should be seen and their faith in Christ should be known. And they were going out on his side and they were serving the Lord and not ashamed that others should know of it. The challenging duty and the loving aim. And then finally, the prayerful hope. The prayerful hope that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, it is possible, and no doubt actual on occasion, perhaps many occasions, because of what we are, sinners, that as Christians, we do the things that we do, right things, with a divided motive. We'll say it's for the Lord and for his glory, but perhaps secretly, we're rather proud of what we do. We're quite happy that others see what we do, and we would quite like to receive their praise. In chapter 6 and verse 1, Christ says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." The Pharisees were very much like that. There they were in the synagogues and on the street corners, and doing their righteous deeds such that others might see them and praise them. Not so with Christians. This must be the motive, the aim, the prayerful desire that others who see God's people and are in their company and listen to them and perhaps benefit from them, that they would glorify our Heavenly Father. That requires then of the Christian the grace of humility, to walk humbly with our God, not to promote self, not to take any glory to oneself. It all belongs to the Lord. What have we that we did not receive from the Lord? If we have talents, gifts, abilities, where do we get them? From the Lord. If we have grace, where did we get it? From the Lord. Selfless in our service. And you have the perfect example of that before you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to say concerning Christ, he was selfless. He laid down his life, and he did that for sinners, his people. He loved them from all eternity, and he must suffer and die for them in time. So he did, even drinking the bitter cup of the wrath of God as their substitute, to redeem them, paying for all their sin. Not I, but the Lord. The grace of God which he has bestowed upon me. We are branches in Jesus Christ. He is the true vine. And the fruit of good works depends wholly upon our union with Christ by faith. The branch cannot boast. The branch must not speak of itself, but of the vine, the gracious vine, from whom we receive all God's blessing, the fullness of salvation. The bride is to speak of her bridegroom. Christ is the heavenly bridegroom. He loved his bride. He died for his bride. He seeks her. He makes himself known to her. And she will speak of him, not of herself. And our prayer is that through our own poor witness, seeking to follow Christ, to walk as Jesus walked, the Lord might be pleased to bless that testimony to others, drawing them to seek after the one we endeavor to serve. That when the Lord returns, there may even be those whom he set on his right hand, whom we were able to bear some witness to concerning our Lord and Saviour. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we do freely confess how lean we are in every grace and every good work. And we pray for more grace to enable us to be less self-centered, more Christ-centered, and having in view thy glory and the good, even the eternal good of our fellow men. Help us then to serve as we should, and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.